What's good, everybody, and welcome to the Ambition Show. I'm your host, Aaron Muhammad. Thank you once again for joining us here in the podcast. And this, I brought it up a couple times. This is actually an episode I've been wanting to do for a while. And the reason why is because what gets missed so much is that, number one, a lot of businesses, they don't understand why they struggle. We've brought up sales, we've brought up marketing, and this is that intersection. If you don't know who your customers are, you're always going to have this problem. You're going to be running out there trying to find them as opposed to them finding you. And the saddest part is sometimes your best customers are right around the corner, right across the street. Hell, it could be in the exact same building you're located in, right? If you have a physical brick and mortar business. So if you know that your market space, right, could simply be your community, your neighborhood, your county, your city, you master that area. You know who your customers are there. It's easier to grow and branch out and find customers even on a global level, because then you have a better understanding of what it takes to dominate a small market, or at least to do very well in a small market, to where transitioning going into new markets is fairly reasonable. If not a given, because you've grown so much to where you can service and you can take care of customers in multiple marketplaces. So what we're going to get into today is how to master that local level so you can grow globally. Because we've gotten a couple questions. That's what I said for a while back. We got a couple questions on Quora, and I kept wanting to come back to this. Like, there's a lot of other topics to get to, but this is a question that's been brought up multiple times by multiple people in our community. And it's like, hey, we got to get to it, because frankly, this is a burning question that a lot of other small business owners and entrepreneurs have out there. How do they dominate that smaller marketplace, find their ideal customers, right? Get that defined for them so then they can branch out, service a larger audience. Let's get it. So dominating a smaller marketplace may sound easy, right? And as I started off, we really want to get into what it will take to not only identify and define, but then to dominate, right, in those smaller marketplaces. So then you can branch out and you can grow on a national, or at least a regional, if not national, and then even global level, right? So what is local market? Because that's going to be the first area. Like I said, this is that intersection, that first area. If you can get your local marketing down, then you'll know what works for a marketplace. You'll know who that target audience is. And then you can take it outside of a geographical level and branch out. But you know the ideal customer, what they're looking for from a everything from consumer standpoint to economical standpoint. So in other words, their price points are, and you'll know what markets you can go into, what markets you really can't go into based on economic situations, cultures, religion, everything that comes into play. Because that's the cool part about marketing, right? It's not just sales. A lot of people think, you know, once again, we've talked about the misconception. A lot of people think marketing is all about sales, and it's not. Right? It's where that creative, it's where that analytical, it's where the sales aspect, it's where all of those pieces come together so we can understand and we can build a relationship with the right people being our ideal customers who find value in what we do, and we bring value to them in what we do. So local marketing, what is local marketing? Let's get this clearly defined. I like to define things before we get into it, because people, they have all their own concepts of it, but let's get into the real definitions of things, right? Factual definitions, so we can then move on to what really works and feeds into it. Local marketing truly refers to marketing activities. And this is the key point, kind of actually what gets missed right from the very beginning. Activities a business uses from their products and services in front of the people in their local. This is first the geographical area, right? So local marketing, if anyone tells you local marketing, there's a bunch of different other aspects and pieces to local marketing. No, it's purely based on your geographical. Because I've seen people say, oh, well, you do this in the local level, but you don't do this in the global level, right? In other words, we'll focus on local marketing when it comes to business directories, but we won't worry about local marketing. Or I'm sorry, we won't worry about business directories when it comes to global marketing. Completely false. Because when you're going into global marketing, a lot of people are going to use reference points from reviews, from ratings, from certifications, from testimonials on those business directories, even if it's global. Okay, the Better Business Bureau, yes, that carries a lot of weight in one country. But you know what? It actually carries a lot of weight in other countries, not just one. If you go to Canada, you go to Australia, people know about the Better Business Bureau. And they know about a Better Business Bureau rating, right? So if you say, oh, well, no one cares about my rating on a Trustpilot, right? Or TripAdvisor, or a Better Business Bureau, or a Yelp in other countries, you would be completely wrong. Because when you're working with business partners, I've had it come up before, and I've seen it come up before. Well, I don't see any reviews. And they're like, well, this guy is located over in Europe. Why is he worried about this review site? Because this is a local marketing site. No, it's not. It's a business directory. So like I said, it really is about the things that you're just doing geographically within a specific area, right? But it's not to say that all those other aspects of off-page SEO and promotions and marketing won't be considered in everything, right? It's strictly looking at the geographical area. What are you doing right now within this small community? That's your local marketing. So it can be the same activities you do globally, but how are you doing it locally? That's it. That's all you're doing, okay? And really, in a typical sense, when it comes to local marketing, you're looking at nothing outside of your city, not even your county, right? Because one thing we have to keep in mind is a lot of times with local marketing, that can be impacted, like I said, geographically, the laws that are within that region, right? Within that specific area. So maybe you can't solicit door to door. Maybe you can't, you know, maybe you can't send out mailers. Maybe you can't have a street team that passes out flyers or posts up posters. Hell, there's some areas where you can't have billboards, right? They can't have large advertisements. They can only do poster boards. They can't have these large billboards. You know, that we've clearly seen that. There's cities and there's townships where they will not allow you to solicit mail. You can't send out marketing mails to that zip code or to that city. So that's why in local marketing, we typically look at within a city range, right? And especially in places like the U.S. where cities are significant, you know, when it comes to our actual populations. I mean, hell, I live in a city where we're looking at, you know, clearly over 3 million people, right? And then we have cities like New York City. Well, you know, even each borough of New York City, you know, Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx, when we're looking at the different bureaus, boroughs, and in LA, if you look at Los Angeles County, look at Orange County, and all the cities, the towns that are in there, that's why when you talk about local marketing, you are trying to restrict it to the city. Because if you look at a county level, you're talking to multiple cities that could be literally millions per city. And that could be a completely different taste, completely different economic structure, completely different school structure, political structure in each of these cities. So that's why with local marketing, you want to restrict it really to the city level. Okay. Going outside of your city, a metropolitan area, right, which will require more investment. This is why before you do that and take that step, you want to master that smaller scale. Even if you are in a city of, you know, 2-3 million people, even if you're a borough of, you know, 1 million people, 2-3 million people, you want to get that locked down. That way, you know, before, okay, if I can't get 3 million people, who says I can get 10, 20, 30, 300, right? Hence why we're going to start off from that smaller scale, from that local marketing area. And one of the very first points I started with was business directories. So keep that in the back of your mind when we talk about these best practices. Number one, always, always claim your business directory profile. A lot of these business directories, most business directories, as soon as you register your business with the Secretary of State in the U.S. As soon as, okay, you get that LLC paperwork, you're good to go. All of a sudden, you're going to see a profile pop up for you, right? And especially with the biggest and the most notable of these directories, the ones that make, and let's be honest, the ones that, yes, they make the most profit from you, not only, you know, advertising on their platforms, but you, of course, driving traffic to the platform with your directory. Here's the thing about those listings, though. Here's one of the big misunderstandings about all of those listings. And I'm talking about everywhere. I'm going to go over a few of the listings that you probably know. And then I'm going to go over definitely the ones that most people forget about. And I say most people from the consumer standpoint, not necessarily the business owner standpoint. The thing about a lot of these directories is that number one, this could literally be the way you create a brand, okay? Not from your social media, not from your logo. A lot of these directories are one of the best places for people to interact with you, because what happens is you have a lot of people who go here, well, you know what? We've all heard about word. We all know, well, not heard about, we've all seen the effects of word of mouth. And usually that is social media. But a lot of times when a person's traveling, they don't go to social media, surprisingly. Now, we are seeing more people do that, especially with Instagram. A lot of people are leaving Twitter because a lot of people used to use Twitter for this. But we're seeing more and more people go towards maybe Instagram. Yes, of course, Snapchat and even Pinterest. But to this day, when people travel, TripAdvisor, Trustpilot, Yelp. These are three places people go on a regular to look up a business when they travel. And that's why I said a brand, because if they see reviews, poor customer service, poor quality when it comes to the experience in the venue or in the business, inaccurate number. Can't tell you how many times I've seen this. I'm new to this city. I'm new to this neighborhood. I've traveled with people so many times. Well, I called, no one picked up. But then we speak to a local person who's regular. And, oh, yeah, they're open. Well, the number isn't right on the Yelp page, or the hours are wrong, or they're not following those hours. Now, I mentioned three that I know most people know. Here's the other one that can definitely make or break your brand. And like I say, a lot of you don't. You might not think these are actually considered business directory accounts, but they are. Uber Eats. If you register with a service that's going to register with multiple directories, you're always going to see Uber Eats. Uber has really climbed and become a go-to directory for businesses. Why? Because if people are ordering food or people are ordering products, people want to visit. And we all know about the Uber ratings when it comes to drivers. Well, let me tell you, Uber Eats, here's another one, Grubhub. Like I said, it might not be the ones you're thinking about. You might not think of these as business directories. You might think of these just as, these are food services. These are delivery services. These are rideshare services in some cases, right? And Uber has really changed with Uber One, right? This is where they're combining everything under one umbrella, which is not only from a clever business strategy from their standpoint, but it's actually very helpful for businesses. Because once again, a lot of times we're not taking Ubers necessarily from one house to another. We're taking it to a business. We're taking it from a business. Maybe we're going to a meeting. Well, if your Uber listing, here we go, is not accurate, what happens when a person takes an Uber to a business meeting and the address isn't accurate? They're left a block away, across the street. And this, I'm not giving you, like I said, I never talk from a sense of a level of a theory or me conjuring something up of, oh, this could happen. I'm giving you examples of things that have happened to colleagues, to people I know. A person that was supposed to meet me for a meeting, and he literally showed me the address, and I'm like, hey, we're both not from this city, but I at least got to the right address. And it's unfortunate when a person doesn't, because when they're trying to make a deal and they're late to a meeting, that makes them look bad. You think they're going to leave a good review? And it happens. Happens all the time. Here's another one. A lot of people miss this as a directory. A lot of people. And it's an old school one. It's an old school one, but it is a very good and important and powerful business directory because it's been around for so long. MapQuest. Because a lot of businesses and when I say businesses, I mean rideshare companies, I mean delivery companies, a lot of them are still pulling from these old directories that are still out there. Okay. One that's blowing up, and it's blowing up rapidly. Finally, it took a while, but now it's really growing in popularity. Right, it's your Google business profile. It used to be Google My Business, but now it's just a Google business profile. And now it's got converted to Google Maps. Hear what I said? Google Maps. What uses Google Maps? Rideshare companies, right? Not only rideshare companies have used, you know, utilized the directory and Google Maps, but a lot of specifically, especially when we're traveling, we're seeing these, you know, businesses that focuses on tours, focus on experiences. You know, we talk about Airbnb experiences. They pull from Google listings. They pull from the Google directory. They utilize Google Maps. So if your business profile isn't accurate there, you could be losing people. You have your own private bed and breakfast, not an Airbnb, your own private bed and breakfast. Your listing isn't accurate on your Airbnb. Yeah, maybe your Airbnb account. But if someone else is using another map or someone else is using another directory, it's going to be, what if they can't find you? What if they go to the wrong entrance? Right? And then we look at safety concerns when we look at all of these things. And remember, I start off by saying your brand. Well, what is one of the key aspects of your brand? The trust factor. Wrong address, wrong door, wrong number, wrong hours, inaccurate pictures. So the very first thing, claim your listing on every major directory. There's services to help you out there do that. Okay, we got a really cool partner offer to help you with that. Next up, information. Like I said, claim it, but now you got to get the information accurate. Now, here's one thing I will say. Not every directory is made the same. You know, you can't always upload your logo directory directly to that business listing. But what you also want to do, if you can't get necessary, you know, full control over it where it's letting you upload pictures and everything, this is where you start connecting and making sure you have that target audience, or you at least have that audience there. Push people. Hey, upload a picture, especially if you're a restaurant, especially if you're a nightclub, especially if you're an attraction, especially if you're a bar, especially upload your pictures, upload your videos. Now, here's the portion that's on the business owner. If your business isn't on the up and up and isn't keeping, you know, keeping cleanliness and you know, you have really good customer service, yeah, you're going to be worried about these things. But a business that they know, hey, our customer service is on point. We're clean. We're up to code. You know, we're up to par. We have all our licenses, our certifications, everything's in check. You have no problem with pictures. You have no problem with people talking about how great of a time that you have. You good, whether it's good security, good cleanliness, good customer service, good. You are on point with your end of things. So you know that the pictures that are going to be, you know, depicting your business are going to put you in the best light. It's going to be hard for someone. Actually, once again, to the branding point, it's going to be hard for someone to discredit what you do. So I'll give you a good example. Worked with a business, had horrible, and I do mean this, horrible reviews. Keyword, horrible reviews. And I cannot stress this enough. Because no one read the reviews. The business actually claimed their profile, but no one was keeping up and reading the reviews. Soon as we took over their social media, specifically their Google reviews, we immediately attacked this area. We backlogged every review that had never had a response. We immediately responded to them as soon as we took over. And every review that did have a response, and I do mean it's every review, positive and negative, every review that did have a response, we were followed up, whether it's favorable. Hey, when are we going to see you back? Hope to see you back. If it wasn't favorable, hope to see you back. We're changing things around with the business. Here's some updates. We did that. Completely changed their Google profile from horrible to fantastic. Yeah, they still have some bad reviews up there because you can't get rid of them. And that's the whole point. They stay up there, but you can at least see the responses from the business. Because we got in there, we talked to the owners, we talked to the managers. We was like, hey, what are the changes that are being made? We want to make sure your customers know this. Then we set up another profile. And this is another thing you should be taking control of. And it is a considerable, you know, business profile, your Facebook like page. Your Facebook like page has two really cool tools that you can use. You can use the automated, which is now it's considered AI, right? The automated chatbot. So when you receive certain responses in the chat, you can, or I should say you receive certain requests and inquiries from the chat, you can have, you know, automated responses to where no one's waiting around. And if it's reaching out your FAQ, You can even put your FAQ in there. You can even put your FAQs in there. You can put those questions and get them immediately answered. That way people aren't waiting around for you to answer, and reach out to them and connect with them and build relationships with them and build a customer rapport. That's what we did for this one cafe. So the first thing you can do is claim those listings. The second thing that you immediately need to do is actively update and reach out and connect with your community. Now you start pulling that data. And this is how you dominate that local market, because now you see who are your consistent customers. Who are the, what are they purchasing the most? Why are they purchasing it the most? That's the biggest one. Why? If we find out, hey, we think our price point is too high, and we find out, no, people have no problem with the price point, it's maybe the level of service that they're getting. Maybe they're not attentive. Maybe you don't have, you know, good customer service. So people don't even like, hey, I'm not going to pay that amount for that type of service. They had no problem with the payment. It was the service that they received. I can tell you right now, that's a big thing for me. I will pay a premium for great customer service. I will go to places with great customer service. Great customer service keeps me coming back. Horrible customer service, I don't care how good your food is. I don't care how good your products on the shelves are. I don't care anything. If it's horrible customer service, you will never see me again. Ever, 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 ever. Okay? Actively improve on customer service every chance you get. And use this as a tool. Well, what kind of discounts do you want to see, if you want to see a discount? What kind of promotions do you like? What kind of food? What would you like us to add to your menus? I'm giving you the aspects of a restaurant and a cafe, but this can be used anywhere. I've used everything from our Yelp and Facebook to say, well, what new products should we offer? You guys got a website built. What else do you need? What else is it looking for? You know, you can do this on top of your email marketing. In fact, this will make your email marketing more rich and more valuable, because then you know what kind of content, because then you know what kind of customers you have, right? Maybe there are people who don't want to reach out to email. They don't read email. That's perfectly fine. Because if you have people who engage with you on social, which means everyone can see it, that's actually going to work stronger for your brand right away. Hence, once again, why I said this is a great branding tool that constantly gets missed. Finally, what you can utilize these platforms for, because once again, these are directories, and this will help you with the local marketing aspect. What's going on locally? Because I can tell you right now, especially platforms, Trustpilot, TripAdvisor, Uber is really good at this. Airbnb is great, but Uber is really good at this. Lyft is amazing at it too. What's going on locally? And they will find out for sure what is going on locally. Talk is another one. Talk is a really great platform for the nightlife, the bars, the restaurants. They're constantly talking about what is going on locally in those areas. Make sure you have a listing and you claim that listing and you're utilizing it, because this is an opportunity to be a part of what's going on locally. Another great platform, although it's not necessarily a business directory, would be Eventbrite. There's nothing wrong with having an Eventbrite account. And if you do have any events going on, you run it through Eventbrite. Because then you can see what is going on locally in your community, where all of your customers are going. You find, hey, all of our top, you know, customers on Saturday are going to this one big event. Maybe we have a special promotion for them. Maybe we say, hey, bring your wristband, bring your ticket. Maybe we can link up with that special event. Potentially sponsor them, advertise them, have a vendor. Here's a big one, vendor booths. If you're not using Eventbrite to find opportunities for vendor booths to just go to the events and do surveys, give away, you know, swag bags. Huge opportunity to connect with your local audience. Huge opportunity to see who your local audience is. Because when you go to these venues, well, wait a minute, most of the people who signed up for our referral program or our frequent customer card or our email marketing, most of them said they're actually not from the city. Most of the people who attended this event are outside the city, from a whole different county, because maybe this is a big convention center or this is a big conference center. But now, and like I said, see, nothing's theory. Seen this where someone's used one of the big convention centers. They're thinking they're going to get a lot of local people. They got people actually not from another city, another township, county, whole nother country. Okay. Event right here in Chicago at the McCormick Place, set up a vendor booth. They wind up building an email list, right, from primarily business to businesses. And this is the best way to do it, too, to get, especially for business to business in this case. And I should say in most cases, because business to business, you know, we all need suppliers, distributors, wholesalers, supply chain, can have many moving pieces from all around the world. They wind up building out an email list specifically for new vendors, new, or I should say suppliers in their case, all the way from the UK. How this helped them is they actually curbed costs for getting products shipped and produced. So they stopped getting them from one country, started moving them from another country, and they found out they were getting it for a better price. But not only that, they actually have customers there too. So the reason why it's a better supplier is because that supplier can also work as a distributor, can also work as a seller in the UK for them. Can't beat that. So they literally handle two aspects of their business from one actual resource. And the only reason why they connected with them is because they had a vendor booth at a conference in the McCormick Place. And they're expecting, hey, most of these businesses that are coming here are from the US. They just happen to connect with one from the UK. Associate of mine did this, and ever since then, I've always looked for opportunities for vendor booths. I was always looking at vendor booths, but that alone showcased how just a $1,500 investment, $2,000 investment, depending upon what, you know, depending upon the event. And of course, this is at McCormick Place, a very big convention center, so it's a significant investment, but this is a business that, you know, they do $20, $30 million, you know what I mean, and revenue off of a small deal. So imagine what they do off of big deals. So this actually helped them a significant amount in growing their business internationally, even though they were already international. Using platforms like Eventbrite to look for those type of opportunities for either sponsorship, vendor booth, you can build a great connection with a local audience, and then, as you can see, even a global audience. So when we come back, we're going to get into specifically how to create a buyer persona, how to come up with your target audience. That way, when you're pulling this data from the business directories, from these events, you can then actually populate the right tools to help you optimize these opportunities when we come back. What's good, everybody? We are back, and I've gone over this before with you guys with how to make customer avatars and customer personas. And it's actually a really cool exercise, and every business should do it. And I promised you, and I did it for you. We are going to have an episode on our YouTube channel where we literally show you how to create and how to populate that customer avatar, that customer persona worksheet that we have for you. And we have that for you in this episode as well, for you to download and take advantage of when you join our community on our website. So as you're getting these questions answered, as you know, are getting the responses back of what products people are purchasing, what products people like the most, what services they like the most, what promotions they like the most, where they're located, their age, start populating the customer persona template, that are also called the customer avatar template, right? This is how you know your customer, and you build out your ideal customer. You build it out based on what people are buying the most, when they're buying it the most, why they're buying it the most, how much they're paying for it, where they're coming from, right? Where they live, how much they earn, type of profession they have, right? These are the key points, the data points that you want to have. When you take this information, right, then you know what to optimize on those business listings. So like I said, the first step is just to claim it. Post, share, connect, then optimize, right? See, people want to start out perfect. It ain't going to be perfect when you start out. It ain't going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect when you start out, right? You're starting out. Go to these sites, your Google profile, Yelp, Trustpilot, Better Business Bureau, Facebook like page. If you notice, You go from the ones that you have the most control over to the ones that you might even have to, in some cases, yeah, you have to pay, you know, to even do a few things on certain platforms like Yelp and there's a site Jabber and things like that. But the more you do on your own to control, you know, in other words, the data you can control, the better you optimize that review platform. And here's the best part about that. You also get to see which ones people are using the most. Because if you notice that, hey, I'm on the top 50. Let's say I'm on the top 50 platforms, right? Because some of them are actually more important to different industries too, right? You start to say, well, I'm on the top 50, but it's 10 that are getting the most energy. It's the same thing like with social media, right? Like I told you, I think every business, you should, if there's a major social media platform, and I definitely say with the major ones, claim your name to protect your brand. Claim your name to protect your brand. Claim your URL. It's just like a domain, right? Claim your domain just to protect your brand. You should have a website for sure, but claim your name on these platforms to protect your brand. Go get it. I do mean that. Go get it. If you ain't on TikTok, still go get it. Because the last thing you want is somebody with your name out there on a TikTok and people now confusing you, especially with as much traffic TikTok gets, right? So claim your domain, claim your name on these platforms, claim your listing on these review sites. Then the ones that your customers are putting the value and the effort into, those are the ones you put the energy into because you're trying to go there to connect with them, to build relationships with them. You make sure your information is accurate, but the ones that you're putting time and energy into, they're posting every day, sharing content, making reviews, posting, specifically if they're posting anything about your business, of course, those are the ones you claim you put that energy into. So I'll give you a good example, right? I've brought up these two multiple times, Trustpilot and TripAdvisor. Two of the most respected by far, right? If you are in, of course, and I'm assuming if you're already in the industry, you should know this, but just in case, if you are recreation, vacation, travel, leisure, you should have clearly you should have claimed your profile, created your profile, own your profile on both of these. Because what happens with Trustpilot, a lot of people miss this on Trustpilot. Trustpilot, I'm telling you, I've seen Trustpilot make and break businesses simply because people go in there and they tell you, love this business, hate this business, love the experience I had there, the customer service I had, price was perfect, or vice versa. And Trustpilot, let me tell you, they back that up. If it's a legit review, they'll make sure it's posted and stays protected. You can't just go in there and wipe things clean. You can't go in there and just have people, you know, making a bunch of false, fake reviews. It's a really good platform for protecting and safeguarding what people have to say about a business. Travel Advisor. Very similar. Okay. So if you're in the industry, leisure, vacations, you know, hospitality, these are platforms you need to be on. These are platforms you need to own those profiles. I think every single business, Google profile. Yes, every single business. Every single business, Facebook. Every single business. Service industry, Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, definitely should make sure you own your profile, update that profile. Alignable, definitely own your profile, manage that profile. Okay, we clearly know the history of restaurants and, you know, fast food places and, you know, once again, also nightlife and leisure for Yelp. But any service industry, Yelp, or any service, you know, is janitorial, HVAC, own that Yelp profile. But like I said, any business, Facebook, like page, should always have one. LinkedIn, company page, you should definitely have one if you're in business to business. If you focus on helping other businesses, and I don't care what that other business is, but if it's business to business, LinkedIn company profile, it will save you. And I do mean it would save you. because, and with all due respect, with unlike a Facebook like page, there's a certain level of respectability that's on LinkedIn that you don't have, let's be real, for Facebook. Because a lot of people, I mean, I've seen people's Facebook like pages for their dog. I have literally seen it. And that dog was not a social media influencer in any way, shape, or form. Okay? I have never bought a product because of that dog. But I tell you right now, that dog had a like page. And if I can find that thing, I will post a picture of it on our YouTube immediately. But I digress. I'm getting away from that. A LinkedIn company page. You're not seeing no LinkedIn company pages for no dogs anytime soon. Let's just be real, okay? So if you do business to business, especially, you're in drop shipping, you're in supply chain, you are in finance, insurance, of course, marketing, graphic design, make that LinkedIn like page. Or LinkedIn company page, I should say. The LinkedIn company page will save you a lot of headaches because people will go there, see it as not only a directory, right, listing, but also a level. You took the time to at least make a company page on LinkedIn. That means you're really serious about your business, or at least you're showing more effort into your business. And you got to keep in mind, it's like anything else. When people see you're investing in yourself, they more likely want to invest in you. So if I tell people, hey, you know what? I'm a corporate, perfect example. I'm a corporate consultant. Headhunter, go to my like page. What? Let's be real. If you tell somebody you're a headhunter, you tell them to go to your Facebook like page. What? But if you do consulting for executives, business coaching, here's my LinkedIn company page. Here's my business profile. Here's my website. First off, always, first and foremost. Here's my company like page on LinkedIn. Here's my page. Hell, here's my page on Crunchbase. I haven't gone to Crunchbase yet. Okay. For my tech people, for my entrepreneurs, my startups out there, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about Crunchbase. Okay. And that's the kind of level of respect you want for your business. Oh, shoot. You got a LinkedIn. You got a Crunchbase. You got your website. Okay, you're now standing above others who are not taking the time to invest in themselves like this. And overall, every business should have that Google profile. Every business should have that Google profile. If you don't, I don't know why not. You're losing out not only on SEO, from search engine optimization, from people being able to find your business and know what the hell your business actually does, but now you also lose an opportunity to pull data from reviews, from people sharing pictures and content from your business and the services that they've received. You're losing the opportunity for people to market your business for you. I know we had an episode in the past about passive income, right? And I was talking about one of the aspects of passive is that the marketing is taken off your hands. Well, it might not be income, but if the marketing is being done for you by your customers, if you turn your customers into brand advocates, whew, that's what almost every company wants. If I actually don't know of a major corporation that doesn't want more brand advocates. If you tell any major corporation, and this thing about it, small businesses, startups, you have a better opportunity to do these things than the biggest corporations in the world, than the Microsofts and the Apples and the Nikes, all of them. Because you touch and work with people directly, hands-on, every single day. I'll give you a good example. Working as a venue manager at a bar, I, every weekend, had people coming. I'm only coming here because Aaron works here. I'm only going to that place because Aaron is the manager there. That's a brand advocate. They're bringing other people because the bartenders, because of the managers, because of the DJ, because of the whatever works there. And they're bringing people in, paying customers. You've now turned a customer into a brand advocate. You know what the only thing better than that is? When if they're talking to people one-on-one, they post that on Google. Not Instagram. No offense. Not Instagram, not Facebook, none. Google. the number one search engine in the world, Google. Your Google profile is a part of that automatically. And if you have a brick and mortar, if you have actual location, it's specifically now, Google profiles are now integrated with Google Maps. They're part of Google Maps. So if you make sure your address is accurate, your numbers are accurate, your phone number is accurate, your hours of operation are accurate, now you have a brand advocate and people can immediately go there, oh my God, this person did a review, this person's posting pictures, and boom, we know exactly when to go, when we should go. So with that, we come back. We're going to go into the book of this episode. And I mentioned it, I briefly touched on it, the offers that we have for you guys in this episode when we come back from commercial break. Quick recap, everybody. Welcome back. So we went over what local marketing really is and the tools that are aspect of local marketing and the things that are kind of the misconceptions of local marketing, but also more importantly, what pieces of separate local marketing from, or what activities separate local marketing from other forms of marketing, specifically when we're looking at it from a global level. And as stated earlier, you can just, literally it's just a geographic piece. What are you doing in that specific area? What are you doing in that specific region? Then we turned gears and focused on, and you should go back if you missed it. You should go back if you missed anything as many times as you need. Slow it down, you know, take notes, claim those listings. That's the first line of building your brand. Because now you have an opportunity to get reviews. You have an opportunity to connect with customers. You have an opportunity to share content, to capture content. Most importantly, capture data so you can build out that customer avatar, that customer persona. And you know who you're talking to. Like I say, even the very beginning, when you just start your business, even if you got a few hundred customers, you may have a rough idea, right? You might even have a persona right built out from the very beginning. If you have that business plan, if you've done all this work, yeah, you've done that from the beginning, but that's going to grow. It's not going to stay the same. It's going to evolve, right? People who say, oh, I'm going to write my business plan, put it on a shelf, and it's done, those are the people who would be out of business soon. They might actually be out of business just as fast, if not faster, than the people who didn't even have a business plan in the first place. Because they're thinking that it just stops right there. The same thing goes for your marketing. Same thing goes for your customer persona. These are opportunities for you to get all the data you need for all these things. Build up prospectus, build up proposals, build up business plans, build up marketing strategies. Okay? And which platforms are most important to different industries? We cover that roughly. Now, before I get to the book of the episode, I'm going to call out the things that we have for you to offer. I'm going to flip it around a little bit. Number one, list of the most important directories. We've got a link to the most important directories you can have. And this is for all businesses. Okay? So updated list. We do this list every year. Sometimes we've had to update it every 3 months, and in a few cases in the past. Link to that directory, free directory of those directories, okay? Claim those listings if you haven't claimed those listings and grab them. Also, we have an offer from one of our partners for you to utilize a great tool to manage all of your listings on those directories. We have a link and offer in the description of this episode as well. That's from one of our affiliate partners. We appreciate when you support them. Support us on top of being a great member of our community and our audience. So, book of the episode. Kind of sums it up. The Local Marketing Handbook, 5 Fundamentals to Increase Business and Impact Community. Tell you right now. Local marketing, like I said, there's a lot of misconceptions about it and how different it is. It's not that different, right? But you can go about it and actually hurt your business a lot if you don't go about it the right way, right? Maybe even more than the global aspects. Because remember, these are the people you potentially see every day, the people that you meet up with every day. Quick reviews, quick customers, quick purchases. Robert Torres made a really cool book about how to optimize local marketing. Step by step, very simple, very straightforward. Seasoned marketer to complete novice. You can pick up this handbook and run with it. Mr. Torres is a fantastic, fantastic marketer from a data perspective, especially. In general, understanding the tactics, but from the data perspective and how to optimize that data and utilize it to help businesses. Read this book and basically relearned what I knew about local marketing. You never should stop learning. Never turn your brain off. I know it sounds like a really corny statement, but if you think about it, people do this all the time. They think, oh, I'm a master at this, I'm certified in this, and then you can always learn something new. Humbly read this book, humbly educated, updated my understanding of a lot of concepts of local marketing, and also how easy it is to make or break a brand just by your local marketing alone. Because like I said from the top, and I'll say it again before I leave you guys, these are the people you see on a regular basis. They could be right across the street, right around the corner in the same building. They could be anywhere in that block. And I can tell you, man, when you go to a neighborhood or when you go to a new city, there's nothing better than when somebody says, oh, you got to go to this place. You got to go to that place. You got to go to these guys. And it's a family business. It's a small business. It's a mom and pop shop. Because that right there, that's that word of mouth. Now imagine them putting that online. Imagine them putting those business directories. Imagine putting those in reviews. Like I said, managing the bar. One of the things that I enjoyed the most was when people said, hey, you know what? I brought these guys because you made this such a great experience. I brought my friends to check it out. Not because I'm thinking, okay, yeah, well, of course, we're making more money and everything. But that means I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. When you come into my venue, when you come into my restaurant, when you come into my club, you're going to have a great time. And now you're spreading the word and you're telling people about it. And you're doing it from hand to hands. And you're also doing it, you know, online in review. So what Torres goes over here will help you get your business to that level. And let me tell you, you can always be improved. Like I said, never turn your brain off. Keep learning. You might be doing it great right now, but you can do it even better. And remember, okay, the only thing that separates the local marketing from the other marketing activities is the fact that it's regional. So if you're building great relationships here with this target demographic, or I'm sorry, with this target audience in this demographic, right? See what you can take from this demographic and move into another area. Because I can tell you right now, there's a working class. There's a third shift worker. Right? There's a person that works in that same exact industry overseas, in another country, in another continent, on another side of town, in another region. It's only the geographic, right, that the local marketing is really touching upon and really separating. So if you find a way to dominate or at least carve out a good market share within the 200,000, 300,000, maybe even 2 million, 1 million, 3 million, whatever may be in your city. Now, what's a similar city? Because once you have that customer avatar, and I didn't forget, I'm going to go back to it. Once you have that customer avatar down pat, okay, well, the only thing is the geographic, right? So what other cities, townships, countries? Yeah, and don't get me wrong. You might even talk about, yes, you might have to change up languages. But remember, that might be the only difference. Because I've even seen it where the language is a little different. Maybe the graphics change because the culture is different. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're talking about the same people. We're talking about a mom. We're talking about a dad. We're talking about a student. We're talking about an IT professional. We're talking about a doctor. Very similar. You may have to change a few things here and there, but very similar. The only thing about that local marketing is that geographic. Customer avatar. We're going to make an entire episode about the customer avatar. We're going to have the audio and video for you. I'll say it again. We're going to have the audio and the video for you for the customer avatar. Okay. Step by step, we're going to fill in that template. So if you haven't downloaded it, I'll give you another chance, another link to download that customer avatar. It's a free tool. It's a free template. In that episode, we're going to completely fill out that template. We're going to completely fill out that avatar. And the best thing about it is it's already designed, pre-built for you to print that sucker out and put it on your wall. Now, it comes in different sizes. You can actually print it out to where it's a lot larger. It's going to be kind of a poster size. It's really cool. I have one on my wall. for our target audience. But you can also have the 8x11, you know, or you can just keep it as a grab. But I always suggest this, especially if it's the first time you've ever done it. When you're completed, print it out. And we're going to give you a couple of good, cool ways that you can print it out beyond just from your, you know, your local, the printer in your office. So we're going to have a great episode, specifically audio and video, on how to fill out that. Waiting for this dude to pass. So we're going to have a great episode where we go over how to complete that customer avatar. We're going to complete it step by step with video and the audio for this. It's going to be a dedicated episode just for the customer avatar, because I brought it up. This is, I think, the fifth time I brought it up. Like I said, it's probably the last time I'm going to put that link up there. You can join the community. You can download that link for free. You can download that template for free. Utilize it in Canva. Is a great tool to utilize it in. If you don't have a Canva account, you know what? Actually, you know what? If you don't have Canva, we'll put a link in this episode as well to Canva and how to and just to get yourself a Canva account, because then you can edit it very easily on Canva. You can edit it, you know, in Word or PowerPoint or Publisher, but it's really, or PDF, you know, it's a PDF file. But it's really cool to do it in Canva, because then you can do, you know, put all your little graphics in there, and it's going to be really easy to add your branding to it as well, because Canva is a great tool for that. So what we're going to do is an episode where we go over that audio and video of how to fill in the customer avatar. And I just, hey, you know what? Got a couple, like I said, a couple good links for you in there to start. Pretty much everything we talked about in this episode, get it started with it right away, right? List of directories. Have a link to that article that we wrote and we keep updating. How to manage all of those directories. Got a link for you and a deal for you from our affiliate, our supporters. And once again, if you guys, you know, use that link, that's supporting the show. We much appreciate it, on top of the support that you already give just by listening. And then a link to Canva as well, one of our supporters. So by supporting them, you're supporting us, of course. So with that, this is how to crush, I love using the buzz terms of the day, right? How to crush local marketing and grow globally. Because everything you learn here, you can take on to a global level. Everything. And hey, for our listeners, because we have quite a few listeners overseas, same thing. Everything you're doing there, you can take tools from here and bring to the U.S. market, or vice versa. If you're already marketing and promoting U.S., there's a lot of listeners that we have overseas that focus on business in the U.S., surprisingly, and they don't do it locally. So I would love to see how many of you guys are doing that. So with that, like I said, episode's coming up, focus on the customer avatar. We'll have a link to that if you want to sign up to catch that episode as soon as it premieres. Make sure you turn on notifications. That will be a video and an audio episode, so that's gonna be pretty cool. It's gonna be pretty live. All right, y'all, with that, I've been your host, Aaron Muhammad. This is the Ambition Show, how to crush local marketing and grow globally. I'm looking forward to seeing you at that episode where we go over that customer avatar. Grab those links in the description, check out the book, The Local Marketing Handbook by Roberto Torres, and yeah, let's get it, let's keep getting it, let's keep growing our businesses. And thank you for all the support that you guys have given us over the past, you know, year of this, our first year as a show, and loving every bit of it. Small but mighty team over here doing this. Small but mighty team. You know, it's a team of four, but we're getting it done. Peace. Love you all. Thank you so much.